Welcome to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast, where we discuss various dog training topics to help you become the best leader for your dog. Marvin Pierce has over 20 years of experience with obedience training for dogs located in the Sherwood, Oregon area. Offering private lessons and group clinics, the dog teacher has been able to change the lives of dog owners by helping them develop and maintain an obedient dog. For more information, contact us at marvinpiercedogteacher.com.
Welcome. Marvin here on a great Tuesday morning, I think, and Bianca. Brett's behind the scenes. You know, one of my shows I watch all the time on YouTube.
What show?
Just one of my shows. Now the person, the person used to be in the limelight all the time, you know, helping.
Uh-huh.
In the movie, the video.
Uh-huh.
And then they only videoed. And now they're back in the limelight again, watching it and helping, and the camera's on a tripod again.
I don't understand what your point is.
Well, I don't know why, but it's Chad's custom thing y'all watch.
Uh-huh.
Remember I told you that now she has her own YouTube channel that's going?
Yeah.
But now she's back into the picture. She's not just behind the scenes in the video.
I still don't know what your point is. Help me.
Well, she's trying to grow her own channel now. So okay. They were offered like $1 million for his, you know. Which they're dating, I guess, maybe.
Okay.
So he was offered $1 million for that, but they turned it down. So now she started her own. So when she started her own, now she's back in the pictures because everybody likes to see her.
Yeah.
Because she does everything. She welds, helped do everything.
Right, right.
Well, she just like disappeared behind the scenes forever.
Uh-huh.
Because she's doing all the major video and probably editing and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But now she's gotten back into the pictures, and the other day I noticed that all she done is stand around and look. And then I seen one of her videos where her and Chad's there, and Chad's working, and she's just talking. I think they made the video, and then she voiced over it on what they were doing. So it's just funny to see that now she's back in it, which I liked seeing her in the videos anyway, because she'd done a lot of work, you know, and she helped build the hot rods and. It was fun. It was kind of sad to see her. For me, it's like trapped behind the camera all the time and not getting no action. Like Brett now, he can come out and get dog bit now if he wants, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He bays and grooms dogs. And he does, but he enjoys the videoing too. But I think sometimes it's more fun when you can do other things with the video and being part of the process. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what my point was. You still don't understand it?
No.
I think you need to get some sleep. Bianca's been doing night shift in the kennels because we got a crying dog. It's funny because now today he's finally just settled.
Yeah.
Now he's making noise. I went over and peeked over the wall on him while ago and he's just laying on his bed looking around. He wasn't asleep, but he was just laying there looking around, which is kind of nice, but people don't understand sometimes the amount of effort that the people here put into the, making sure the dogs are good. Because like him, you know, I was watching the cameras this morning. I looked on the cameras and checked them when I got up and make sure you weren't in here in the kennel sleeping with him or something. And I seen you was in the kennels walking around. And it's and I know I appreciate it. I think everybody does, you know, the amount of effort that you put into it. Because Irene didn't have to sleep in the kennels. Heather offered to.
Yeah.
But I don't know that she wouldn't climb in a crate. She'd be like, I need some freaking sleep.
You know, I was looking at the grooming table last night, and I was like, I kind of think I could sleep on that. It's like, I could put my blanket on it. I sat down. Those camping chairs have been through a lot, and last night I sat down, I set it up, and I leaned back, and it was like, clunk, clunk. And the one side came out, and I was like, okay.
I told you, you should get an army cot or something put in there. I offered to sleep in there.
That's offer up purchase is an army cot for when we have.
They're so nice, you just fold them out and lay down and go sleep.
Yeah.
I remember whenever I hitchhiked across country back in the mid-70s probably. I had an Army duffel bag, and then I had an Army sleeping bag, and that you could literally get in and zip it all the way up, and all that stuck out of it was your face out of the sleeping bag. And they were good. I mean, they keep you warm. I remember sleeping in that thing in the back of a pickup that people were kind of living out of. You know, they had all their pots and pans and shit in the back of the truck, and I hitched a ride with them in Wyoming. And they asked where I was going, and I told them I don't know, because back then you didn't have cell phones. I was going to meet this guy that was working the road construction job, driving a truck hauling asphalt. They're like, where is he now? I don't know, freaking Wyoming, somewhere around Laramie. They're like, well, how are you going to find him? I said, I don't know. And they're like, well, you're welcome sleeping back in the truck tonight, because they were going to a trailer park where they were staying. I said, all right. So I slept in there that night. Next morning, they took me down to this fuel stop, truck stop. And I don't even know if I'd ever met the guy I was going to go hang with. And he was probably 10 years older than me or whatever. But so we pull in the truck stop, and I told him, I said, I'll fill your truck up with gas and buy you a case of beer or whatever, you know. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I have money. I was just out loafing. And then here this buddy of mine pulls in. I'm like, oh, shit, I think that's him right there. And all I'd done was talk to him on the phone from Texas to Laramie, Wyoming. Nowadays, people can't even find Laramie, Wyoming, much less a stranger out in the middle of the freaking nowhere, you know. But
it's kind of a miracle you're still alive, all the crazy shit you've been through.
But it was a fun trip, you know. I got a ride with some people out of Cheyenne, Wyoming or somewhere. And it was funny because there was two young gals in there and an old guy. Well, he's probably my age, I don't know. And I jumped in the back seat, and the guy was driving. One gal in the front seat, one was in the back seat with me. And they started passing and joining around. They're like, you want us to toke on this? And I'm like, sure, I don't think so. I'll try to keep my shit together. Or no, we were up north, because I said, where are y'all going? They're like, we're going to Cheyenne to the rodeo. You want to go? I'm like, no, I don't want to go. Yeah.
Going places.
Yeah, and they're like, well, he's going to pay for everything. He got the car and money. We're just
the amount up. Of anxiety that yeah. it would give me to not have a plan.
Yeah.
And to just
well, I had a
like...
plan. I was going to Laramie. And they're like, well, do you want to ride on down with us to Cheyenne? I'm like, no. They're like, well, you want us to toke off this? Oh, yeah, I might. So I took a little, just keep good company. I didn't want to pull over and kick me out on the side of the road. And, man, that was some good shit, but they got me to close to where I was going. I got out and floated on down the road. But, yeah, it was pretty funny. But, yeah, it's just crazy, the stuff that I used to do on the road. I don't recommend it. But
a bunch of people saying hi. Paul Smith says good morning. From Newport. Kathy Morrison says hi. Kathy Shelton says hello.
Morning.
Hey, how's morning. Camping?
Paula Smith says, Taylor Wilson, I love camping.
I bet.
It's all that matters if the dogs like it. They're probably, humans are probably sleeping on a rock with their head on a pillow for a rock for a pillow. But the dogs are happy. That's
yeah.
what matters.
Yeah.
Hey, Kathy. But yeah, it was fun. I used to like hitchhike all over. I didn't even care. I hated to hitchhike like from here to Newburgh, but I wouldn't mind hitchhiking from here to Ontario or something. You know?
Yeah.
Just the short stuff just didn't work for me. So, since we probably have a few people on here, Brett, do we got any questions from last podcast, Facebook?
No. I think we already addressed the last one. Because you made the recall. The last question we asked was, what's your biggest dog training challenge? And one person said
recall.
So if you want to talk about that, you could.
Well, I thought we had another question about how I learned to be a dog trainer.
Oh, yes. Someone did. They asked you.
I assumed y'all forgot that.
They asked you about your credentials.
So.
But they asked, in my opinion, they didn't ask to ask.
They asked to try to say I don't know what I'm doing.
Internet trolling.
Yeah, they're trying to say I don't know what I'm doing. They're just stalking me, you know. And I admire people who have that much time, you know, just to stalk people. Holy shit. I wish I didn't have to work for a living. I could go stalking people. But I probably stalk rich people, though, not poor people. You know?
Yeah, I just don't think it makes me a better trainer to worry so much about what other people are doing.
I don't give a shit what they say. I told you the whole time, you know, I don't have nothing to prove. You don't have nothing to prove, you know? Yeah. And these people are just sad that they can't sometimes do what other people do, you know? Mm-hmm. But to talk about, and I never really talked about it as a line of how I learned to be a dog trainer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to touch on that just for this person. Maybe make it feel better. I assume they may want to try to go to some of those people and learn like I did so they'd be as good as me. But it may not be true. They may just be curious. So my first dog training I done with a gal, Jennifer was her name, and it was a chocolate lab. It was in probably the latter part of 1993, and it was an eight-week-old puppy, and I went to this lady, and she helped me. And back then, all we used was the metal choke chain, you know? I didn't use no e-collar, no pinch collar, no nothing. And it was going okay, but I just wasn't getting where I wanted to go. So I went and found a book, believe it or not, and it's Walters. It was a guy's name who wrote it. And I followed that book to a T, and I made one of the coolest dogs. Not the coolest, but one of the coolest dogs I've ever owned. I've owned a lot of them, thankfully. But that dog could do anything. I mean, he sat, stay all day. He recalled 100% of the time. I never had a problem with that dog. And the reason that he did so well, in my opinion, is, and I never fed him a treat, you know. I mean, I might have shared a cheeseburger with him if we were on a road trip, you know, because I ran around with him a little bit. I might have shared a cheeseburger with him, but just because I have one and I like to be nice to my dog. So I trained that dog, and then about 26, 7 years ago, whatever it was, I moved here, and I decided that I wanted a team rope, and I told my wife I was going to get me a cow dog, because if I go roping somewhere, most of the people would put their dogs up because they couldn't really control them. And so we would all just chase the cows around on the horse. I decided I didn't want to do that. I told my wife I was going to buy a cow dog. She said, "What's a cow dog?" I said, "I don't know. I heard they work cattle." And so I looked around, and I ended up buying a dog named Jake from a guy. And he came up and helped me start him on training him to be a cow dog. And then that guy, when I get into something like that, I get into it pretty hard. So I was dedicated to it. So I trained and trained and trained on that dog. And I used an e-collar on him and a pinch collar. And he was so cool. I mean, it's just unreal the things he could do. But I finally seen an ad in Western Horseman, a guy named Gary, selling hanging tree cow dogs in Oklahoma. So I called Gary, and we planned out a deal, and I flew to Texas, rode up to Oklahoma, watched Gary work some dogs, and I don't think there'll ever be a better cowboy than Gary, dog trainer also. So I went and learned some from him, and he had like 6 or 8 hours of videos, and I watched those videos so much that I burned them up, and I had to buy VHS back then, and I had to order another set. And I would call Gary all the time and ask him questions, and he never once told me to get a treat, you know, so just throw that in there. He told me that you get a dog to respect you, and you be a leader, and your dogs will follow you. And if your dogs have consequences for a bad behavior that they understand is a bad behavior, they will accept the consequences. You can still be their leader, kind of like humans, and they will be a better partner for you. And one of the things that amazes me with people and their dogs, there's so many people around here, they can't take their dogs out in public because they'll bite somebody, you know. They had to put a muzzles on them, they had to muzzle them, take them to the vets, but yet they're certified dog trainers. But for me, the thing that Gary told me that really stuck with me for the last 20 some years is when you have a nice dog, trained dog, take him somewhere else and see what kind of dog you have. And that's kind of it. Like, we could take any of our dogs to the vet, Wilco, Home Depot, to the park, to a restaurant, you know, make him lay down and we can eat dinner. And we don't have to worry about him, which a lot of people can't do that. And some of the people who can't do that, it's because they don't have the knowledge on how to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's that way with everything, you know. And I mean, I'm not pointing out my stalkers right now because I have a couple of them around here that I've never met. They've never met me, but they know a lot about me. So I'm not talking about them right now. I'm just talking about how I learned to be a dog trainer. And so then a few years later, I heard about this other guy named Charlie who is a souped-up dog trainer, you know, cow dog trainer, not a treat trainer. And he was in Kansas somewhere, Cottonwood, Kansas, I believe. And he ran thousands of head of cattle, and he had a lot of cow dogs. And so I heard about Charlie, and I I had a litter of pups at the time, so I took off to Montana to sell pups to a buddy of mine. And my buddy's like, he bought two or three pups, and me and my son was going to Laramie, Wyoming to a horse auction. And my buddy in Montana said, man, he said, you ought to call Charlie. He'll probably buy these other pups because they have to buy my sport dog. And so I called Charlie Traer in Cottonwood, and that's when I went and met him. And he said he would buy them. So I went down there and worked some dogs with him. But while I was in Montana, this other guy told me, he said, man, have you ever heard of a cattle master? And I said, no. And he said, they're a dog breed down out of Texas, Oklahoma. And they're American Bulldog, Border Collie, and Kelpie. And he said, they're badass dogs. So I read this magazine about them. And I said, well, shoot. I asked Jason, I said, hey, you want to go to Texas? And he's like, sure. You know, Jason, my son, stepson, he was like 10, 12 years old. And who don't want to go to Texas, you know? Well, country version anyway. So me and Jason went down to Kansas, and we sold Charlie these pups and watched Charlie work some dogs and talked to Charlie. And he was, probably 60 years old or so, cowboy. And, I mean, he had some nice dogs. If he said lay down, they laid down, you know, and they ate cheeseburgers, whatever the hell he wanted to do with them, you know, but they really obeyed him. And so I went down into Texas, me and Jason, and met these cattle master guys and bought a couple dogs down in Texas. And for me, with them guys, it was amazing what they could do with their dogs. I mean, there was no disrespect. The dogs didn't fight, you know. They didn't argue. They just were nice, well-mannered dogs, but they were machines. I mean, these dogs were bred to work. So I talked to those guys quite a bit on the phone about training dogs and stuff also. And then a year later or whatever, I was in... I bought a dog, a Kelpie, out of Arkansas. And, I mean, it was a gritty, tough dog. And that guy told me about this other gentleman named, I can't remember his name now. I'll think of it here in a minute. But they said he was more about getting into a dog's mind to get a dog to respect you. And I feel I'm really good at that now. And a lot of people don't even know how to feed a dog, much less get in their mind. But, well, they do know how to feed them treats. But anyway, I heard this guy was going to be in Denver, Colorado. It was like January or February. And I'm like, shit, I'm going to go back there and meet him, you know. And so I got a hold of him. Matt Roy was his name. I said, hey, you got room for another person or two? And he's like, sure. So I called Scott in Montana, who I'd worked dogs with a lot, and asked Scott if he wanted to ride to Colorado. And he's like, sure, you know. So I picked Scott up in Pocatello, Idaho, and me and him went to Denver, and we went and watched Roy work dogs. And, I mean, it was amazing to watch this guy handle dogs. And he didn't use e-collars that time. I didn't see him use e-collars anyway. But he had a dog that he would put a muzzle on because it would just kill sheep and goats and stuff, I mean, or get a hold of a cow and not let go. And so we watched him that afternoon, day, whatever it was. And then that night we went to the bar and they drank some beer and we had dinner or whatever. And we talked for hours about training dogs. And for me, that's where I learned a lot of my dog training. I never learned how to train a dog by feeding an ill-mannered, disrespectful dog a treat or a cheeseburger. And I don't know. I know it works for people because there's a lot of people out there that make a lot of money off of it, but I've never seen a reason to give a dog a treat that jumps on me or bites me or runs away from me. So all of these gentlemen, the part of them aren't alive anymore, they all agreed with me, and that's where I learned. I've never went to a treat trainer to learn. And so, am I certified? Yes, I do have a certificate. I don't even know if you know that. But I have a certificate where I got certified one time from a trainer. And I think it's down at my house in my file cabinet. So for the people who know so much about me and talk so much shit about me and say I'm not certified, you really don't know. And I don't even think I've told you that, right?
Yeah, you have.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
So I do have one down there. A certificate for a dog trainer, to me, is kind of like a piece of toilet paper, you know? It's really useful if you need to take shit. And then other than that, it's kind of useless because anybody can go buy a certificate. And I looked online and I can get them too, you know. Mm-hmm. I could have 100 certificates if I want hanging all over the wall, but I don't think a certificate makes you a dog trainer. It's like a cowboy, you know. Hats and boots don't make them a cowboy. They're either a cowboy or they're not. So I think I'm done beating on that. My stalkers, I think one of them even changed their name so they could stalk me some more. I found that kind of comical. That really means you got
some
a lot of free
time.
Some
people just keep creating new Facebook profiles.
They do, because they just, people get tired of them. Everybody blocks them and they don't have a life no more, you know? They don't have nothing to
do. If someone like wants to engage out of curiosity and having a conversation, it would be so different. But there's not many trainers who use mostly food reward that want to have a conversation.
They
just
don't,
an
because
echo
they can't,
chamber of
they,
everything
most
they
of them
say.
Cannot train a dog. They can feed them treats and bribe them into doing something, but if they took them out in the forest or the mountains and let them run free, they probably wouldn't catch them if a squirrel or deer went
by. I mean,
by.
They don't want to.
I know, they don't. Yeah. They want to stay in their cubicle. This morning, I had a nice conversation with a young lady about dog training and different techniques, and it was really interesting. She was really open-minded, and she wanted to ask me, and she asked me my thoughts on something that she was doing. And I totally gave her my opinion that, you know, it wasn't something that I would do, but if it works for her, you do it, you know. If it works for you to put muzzles on your dogs when you take them out in public, if it works for you to lock your dog in the back room when you have company or put them in a crate, you know, or in a backyard, do it. I don't care. It's your dog. It's not mine. But at the same time, you know, for the stalkers who keep aggravating me, you know, you don't piss me off no more. If you was a man, I'd probably go face punch you, but my stalkers right now are women. And for me, if I was in nurse shoes, I would probably go, hey, Marvin, could you help me be a better dog trainer? Rather than diss me for the way we train. So I think we need to move on to a better subject. You ready? Mm-hmm. So that is how I learned to be a dog trainer, though. I went and trained with some great cowboys. I think everything I learned, no, I guess not. There's a couple of people who weren't cowboys that I went and trained with. And for me, training with them was mostly watching videos. I never went and worked with them day in and day out, you know. The one guy I did here for a month or so, he came up and trained with me two or three evenings a week. And then I just took it over from there, but I think it's really fun to have a dog who you can take anywhere, anytime, and have fun with him and not be worried and stressed out about him biting somebody or running away.
I just think I said earlier I don't want to worry so much about what other people are doing. I want to focus on me being a better and better trainer, but I want the world to know that you can stop bad behaviors and that you can have a dog who... I had such an ornery ass Australian Shepherd. I mean, he bit people. He bit my husband. He dog fought. He owned me. He was super spoiled, super disrespectful. Now he's respectful and he's spoiled still.
But he is. But he's polite. But he earned his spoiledness this time by being good.
And I felt trapped to only positive, purely positive, force-free, don't ever tell the dog no, and created so many problems.
See, I've never been down that path.
I did. I went all in on it, and it created so many problems for Scout and hundreds of other dogs that wouldn't have had to go through the stress that they had to go through. Everyone thinks that the type of training that we do causes dogs stress and is mean to them, but most of the dogs that we get that are having major behavioral problems are so stressed.
They are.
And food is not helping them. It's not helping them settle. It's not helping them relax. It's not helping them have confidence. It's not helping.
Well, and the human stresses because the dog's stressed, and then that stresses the dog more. And for me, that's what I try to tell people all the time. And I told you a zillion and one times, you know, you hope for the day that you see a little bit of improvement in your dog, and then that gives you a little bit more confidence in life, and then you see a little more improvement, a little more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, you expect improvement because you've seen enough improvement that you can go a little bit faster, better, stress-free, you know. And The sad thing is for me is, and I'm not talking about the stalkers anymore now, we're done with those people, but the people in general that don't understand that you can fix these dogs. If I'm not mistaken, I think right now we have a dog at the kennels that somebody said has been to 7 trainers and has bit numerous people. And not saying he ain't going to bite me because he really wanted to Sunday. Yesterday, not as bad. This morning, he only grumbled at me once. I think it's because he's early and it was early or whatever. But my plans is to fix that dog and to fix the owners. But the owner's the hard part always, you know. I mean, the dogs are not near as hard to get in a better life. You look at Zion that came from Colorado, you know.
You know what bothers me so much? I was thinking about this the other day. Is that dog that for sure wanted to bite you.
Oh, yeah.
Wanted to. I mean, it's not like people say they don't want to. No, this dog had no problem with threatening to bite you. And he would have if you weren't skilled. But everyone thinks we take a dog like that and we shock on it and whoop on it.
Yeah.
And you pet it.
Yeah,
that's how you got it out of wanting to eat you, was by petting it.
Yes,
and that's confidently, calmly, safely petting
and
the dog
and feeling that I could win. You know, we couldn't even get him out of the kennels. Actually, it was my day off, and you called and said, "Hey,
yeah, I couldn't.
The dog is here." I'm like, "What dog? You're like the one that wants to eat us." And and you know, for me, that dog wanted to bite me. But now his whole life has changed into where he don't want to bite me.
No.
But he feels that he might need to bite me.
And
because I'm getting in his private space, I'm touching him.
In my opinion, he's gotten by with. He's been allowed to communicate by threatening and slapping people around. And it's crazy to me to think, like, if... I don't have children, but like if I had a kid and the kid was slapping me and I gave it $50 every time it slapped me.
That's what they do, though.
And then just tried to give it something else to do. Like
if
that,
you're
I
not careful, though, those kids
that.
Will slap you harder.
Yeah.
Because they want more than $50. And that's what the dogs do. They threaten you, and you keep
and
giving
escalates.
Them hugs and treats and leave them alone. And this dog plainly just wanted me to leave him alone. He's like, don't touch me.
And
don't come close to me.
For sure, in the past, told people, leave me alone, and they have.
Some, and some didn't, and they got bit.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing, I know he's bit to people, I know he's been to a lot of different trainers, and you know, what's sad for me is, and I'm talking about trainers in general, being horse or being dog trainers or training dolphins or whatever you might train, you know. The reason that I've drove and flown probably 20,000 miles, you know, to learn from somebody. And some of these people, like I went to Montana one time, and I was at a clinic an hour and a half to try to learn from this guy, and it just wasn't going my way, so I left, you know. But still, people like me, I know there's dogs in the past that have been to other trainers, and I fixed those dogs, and they're cool.
The people. Yeah.
Well, fix the dog and the person to handle and to own the dog. But, you know, never has the trainers who's kicked that dog out, said, put that dog down, put that dog on Prozac, yada, yada, yada. They've never came to me or called me and be like, hey, Marvin, how exactly did you fix that dog? That dog is so flipping cool now. Never.
Because
it don't fit their program.
What we do is the plague.
It is. And for me, I don't care, you know. I've always wanted to learn with the dog training world, and that's why I went. I mean, I remember going to clinics in Texas, Colorado, Montana, Oklahoma, California, and here in Oregon, and to learn. But I've never intentionally got on the internet to learn something from about dog training. Now I watch some dog training videos. Some trainers, and they're cool. I'd go shake their hand.
They're only ones I watch are the ones that I would go learn.
Me, and I would love to go to them and learn. Yeah, you bet.
Person.
I mean, they're good. You know, they're good. And the hardest thing is for people who live in that little bubble of treat training world, they're just not comfortable getting out of it because they, one thing, they don't want to handle these dogs that we handle. A lot of them, not now. We've got little puppies in here and everything, you know. But a lot of those trainers don't want to handle this dog that wanted to eat me Sunday, you know. Yeah. And I don't blame them.
And I will say there are some that send them to us.
They are. We do have some trainers. Yeah, we have trainers. And yeah. A lot of veterinarians send us dogs, you know, and people refer people to us, you know. And for me, for the people who treat train, you know, I'm never knocking you for that. I mean, a lot of you make a really good living at it, and you got a lot less stress than I do, you know. Kudos to you. I'm happy
for you. I don't even think that it's bad as long as you don't have this closed box of I won't ever reach into any other toolbox.
Well, but if you don't want to reach into the other toolbox for me, if you have a dog that's not working for your training, send it to us or send it some farm it out to somebody. Say, hey, go talk to them. And like Bianca said, we have trainers now who do that. Because a lot of these dogs, you know, it depends on what you want, you know. If Joe Bob comes over and says, hey, I want to teach my dog to sit and stay for 2 minutes and lay down for 30 seconds and follow me on a leash.
And it's not a rude, disrespectful, bad temperament.
They can probably get it.
Dog. Yeah.
But for me, from the day I started training dogs in 93, my goal was my dog to be able to be off leash and anywhere, anytime, and recall when I ask him. I mean, that's it. He has to do that. He has to be polite. He can't be rude. Can't try to dogfight and bite people, you know? And not saying all dogs are that way. I mean, we have dogs here that we don't take them out and hang out with a pack because they're probably getting a fight. Because he's got attitude. But
we have dogs like Lily who used to be that way, who now goes out with whoever.
I just got in trouble the other day for taking her out with Hope Hollow Dogs. And it's like, I do all the time. I don't have no trouble with her. But now, even with us, everybody can't take out the same pack that I do or that Bianca does, you know. So I think that people just because the dog's bad wanting to try to dog fight and bite people, they just put it in a category that it's got to be segregated for life, and I don't agree. So Bianca.
And it's not even that if you have a dog that doesn't. It's very rare, but there are some dogs who just don't have a whole lot of interest in playing with other dogs. It's not that your dog has to play with other dogs, and it's not that we're against dogs wearing muzzles in public, but if you're hiding and isolating from other dogs, there are ways to overcome that.
Yeah, a majority of the time it can be fixed.
It's a major, major growth for the person, but yeah,
the harder it is on the person to leave their dog with a dog trainer, the harder it is to fix the person, not always the dog.
Yeah, but Janice reminded me last night how I remember being in the
your
car
aunt?
Going through the curves. And we were in the car with Ulysses and Janice. And she said, he's probably going to say that we should leave the dogs. What are you guys going to do? And in the beginning, she left it up to us.
That was devastating.
She might not do that. If she did it again, but she let us decide in the beginning, and both Ulysses and I totally fibbed and said, well, we want to do it ourselves, you know, like we want to put in the work. And it's not that we didn't, it's not that neither of us, sorry Ulysses for throwing you under the bus, but it's not that neither of us didn't want to put in the work. It's that neither of us wanted to leave her dog.
Yeah, it's devastating.
We couldn't imagine being without it for 3 weeks. That was like...
It's like the first day of taking really your hard. Kid to school or something, you know? Yeah. You're like, oh my God.
And I remember I used to leave Scout, and there was one time I left him at my brother's, and there was a kennel and a 2-page list, and I don't even know why he did it for me. Nice brother, I guess. He watched him, and I probably texted him 52 times a day on my trip, where I don't even remember where I was.
It was a bad vacation
because I worried about the dog the whole time. I worried that the dog would make a mistake with my brother, and I worried the whole time. Now when I leave him, I'm like, he's having a great time, and he's totally fine. He doesn't have separation.
He don't miss me.
He might paddle a little bit when I leave, but he's not stressing. And before, he would stress just be me putting him in a kennel in the same room.
You know, people are sometimes so bad at anything in life, you know. Were you here the day that the people called me and they had a pit bull they adopted recently and it wanted to bite their kids? And they pulled up out here and they parked right behind my car.
I'll never forget this.
And I kind of lost my shit. I would have apologized, but they never came back. But the people got out of the car. I don't even think I ever let them get the dog out because the dog was so bad.
And they had many kids.
Yeah, they had a couple, two or three kids in the car. And they were afraid the dog was going to bite them, but they had the dog in the car with kids. So the guy got out, and maybe his wife, I don't know. And we were talking, and I said, well, you know, you just gotten the dog recently, a pit bull, and you have it in the car with your kids, and yada, yada, yada. And I said, so if we took the dog to train and we thought we had it fixed, what child would you use to test the dog to make sure they weren't going to bite him? And the guy names off his boy. And then he's like, I'd use Susie. I wouldn't use Joe Bob. I said, sir, we can't help you. I said, I just can't do it. And he was going to use one of his kids for a guinea pig to see if his dog was going to bite him. But then he couldn't use the son. No, I'll use my daughter. We can't help you. And so I'm not sure what he did, but in those situations.
He sent us a bad review.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably did. He probably did. And I was so polite to that guy compared to what I wanted to say, you know. 10 years before that, holy shit, it would have been a bad scene in my driveway. But it's just sad to think that you would, you would rather jeopardize your daughter getting ate by a pit bull than your son. It's just, it doesn't work for me, but I've never told but like two or three people, I think, that I wouldn't train their dogs, and he was one of them, you know, and.
Since I've been here, the only people that you wouldn't train their dogs, the people weren't.
The people, yeah, learn. Not even the dog. Yeah. And the one dog, the little doodle thing I gave to the guy at that time, he's 30-year-old kid to act like he was 3 or 4. His dad even apologized for his manners, you know. But it's just hard when you get into those spots. And I talked to some really good friend of mine, I guess, the other day, and they asked me, how do you put up with these people? They didn't even ask me how I put up with getting dog bit.
Well, getting dog bit is not the worst.
Asked me, how do you put up with these people, and how do you control your thoughts and temper?
Yeah.
And for the main thing for me is I know nobody brings their dog here wanting their dog to be like it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter if they'll give me a little bit of hope that I can help the human in this problem, then I'm easily willing to work. I mean, and it's not easy. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes people like Kay Finley, when she came here with Quinn, she's like, hey, was her dog 2 or 3 years old wearing a muzzle? And she said, my dog will eat somebody. And I'm like, oh, it ain't that bad. I didn't know her at the time, you know, and I had the guy work for me. And Kay was standing outside her car with Quinn on a leash and a muzzle, a good muzzle. I made sure it was fit well. And I was standing there, and I'm like, hey, run over here real quick, man. And he ran over, and I mean, that dog was in the air. Poor Kay. He's like, she was going to eat him. And he's like, oh, I said, all right, you go ahead and go to work, man. And it was a fencing crew guy, not the dog training people. But so he went on to work, and Kay's like, I told you. I said, I believe you. I said, I believe you. And, you know, Kay said, I made this dog the way it is, and I want to fix this dog. And nowadays, I don't know. Normally, I don't take dogs like that if the owner wants to be involved. But Kay grew up
takes a really special person.
Yeah,
that
she grew up with like five brothers, country kind of gal.
Boundaries.
Yeah, and she was just cool. So, and she stayed in, I don't really know how long. I got videos and pictures of her dog with muzzles on. I see them every once in a while pop up on my phone. But she was here like 3, 4, 5 days a week doing lessons with me in the round pen, in the field, muzzled dog. And then I got her dog to where it would heal by me without a leash or a muzzle. And it wouldn't even recall to her. I mean, man, that dog was so cool. But Kay always, Brett, are you praying?
Nope, I'm just looking at my laptop.
Oh, I thought you were praying for her. I was like, man, not doing that bad. But no, Kay stuck it out, you know, and she fixed her dog. And her dog's cool now. And she has another dog that she, pup, young dog, I guess, ain't a puppy no more. But Kay came up here all the time, and she still does. She comes up and volunteers and helps us train dogs all the time. And it's fun to see how dedicated some people are. But Kay had the main ingredients. She had the time, the drive, the money, and the just wanted to do it herself. And if you have those things, and you'll listen, you know, and which was really good. Kay never argued and questioned me like you did. You know?
I'll be that way till I die. I don't just listen to people say something works.
I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah. I'm like, show me that that works. And if it doesn't work for me, then I'm like, I don't believe you yet because it hasn't worked yet.
Well, you know how much further you'd be in training and how much less gray hair I would have if you listened more like Kay and learned? It would be boring around here.
Yeah, you might not have as much fun.
I know.
I think I provided a challenge.
Yeah, you do. You do every day. Every day. So what was you going to say that I didn't add?
I don't know what the right word is, but I was so unhealthily attached to Scout that I think one extra layer is that if you can't offer your dog any emotional stability, they need to get away from you for a period of time. Because you can't train on your dog and have boundaries and ask for respect and go from it being on the couch and sleeping in the bed to now it can't even, you know, come over and demand pets from you and jump on you. I think that if you can't offer emotional stability, that's part of why you need to do board and train to have a reset.
And, you know, another thing for me is I never hardly do it. I mean, I do once in a while, but if somebody has an ornery bad dog, whatever, and they want to come and do a lesson a week for a month or two, I don't do it.
Oh, no, spread out.
Yeah, and I don't. And I know it works for a lot of people, you know, in the training world, but I just, it doesn't work for me and my program and my way of thinking because there's like this dog that wanted to eat me the other day. Every time I would see that dog, I would have to go through that, him trying to bite me.
And he would be worse rather than getting better. Yes. And it's just not fair to the dog.
It's not. It's so much more stress.
If that dog went home at night, he would come back and have to go through the stress again, where his stress is lowering perpetually.
It is, because Sunday,
lowering, going up.
Sunday, I could barely touch him or lead him.
Yeah.
And today, this morning, I had him out on the playground with, a 30-foot long line. Mm-hmm. And let him walk around and run around a little bit and go to the bathroom. I could recall him. He came back to me, mm-hmm. kind of hesitantly. And I didn't pet him when he got there because there's a good chance I'd get bit. But he came back to me. And then I could shorten his leash up, and then I could hold his mouth away from me, and then I could pet on him and massage on him a little bit. So it is fun for me to see that kind of improvement in the dog. And normally these dogs, I handle them. You handled him the other day. I let you lead him out, I think, or you wanted to lead him out, and I mm-hmm. said, yeah. But
I'm just not getting myself in a situation with him yet that he might make a mistake because of me.
Yeah, and my thing is for you, and I told you that, your arm's not very long.
No.
And that's the key for him, for me to hold him away from my leg and stuff. And then now we have Gabe who comes up and volunteers when he has some time once in a while. And he was up here yesterday because I told him.
There's nobody that shows up through the doors faster when you say you have a dog that bites.
Yeah. And I told Gabe about him. I was talking to him the other night. We were texting back and forth. And he's got a Rottweiler. It was pretty bad, too. And now she's pretty cool.
She is.
Not as cool as Quinn yet, but she's getting there. And like I told him, see improvements all the time, so just keep doing what you're doing. It's working.
It was so cool that he recognized on his own that it was an opportunity to kind of reset them moving into a new home.
Yeah, he moved to a new home. He just stayed. Yeah. He said he'll go back to his old neighborhood.
And
he's looking forward to it. But like I told him,
it was an opportunity for him to reset.
Yes, but one of the key things that he got, you know, was for me is you moving into a new neighborhood, you just got to really enforce the rules that your dog knows and don't let your dog start to be bad in a new neighborhood. And you have the confidence, which he has. And I told him, because he said he's going to go back to the old neighborhood one day and walk by all the dogs that were bad. And there's a lot of bad dogs. There's one fence there in town. I didn't know it, but it's got a sign. And I don't know, don't get close. Don't put your fingers through the fence. Dogs bite or whatever, you know. And I guess there's some bad dogs in there. But he goes by there with his dog now, and she behaves. And I told him, just don't rush about going back in your old neighborhood. You right. know, you have nothing right. to prove. Your dog's getting cooler every day.
Yeah.
When you feel comfortable enough. And we walk his dog in his old neighborhood. Bianca yeah. and I have, and we don't have no trouble with her. Yeah. But the thing is, for most people don't understand, is me and Bianca don't have no gray areas with that dog. We trained her here, and she's cool, and we've taken her to town, and we went to town and worked with him and his dog. So there's so many times that people don't separate the two, like you said earlier, the dog that has a problem and the owners that have a problem. You don't mm-hmm. separate them so you can fix one and start training on the other one, you know. And it's really hard, like you said, for people to drop their dogs off here. And sometimes we're the last hope. Uh-huh. If they can't get them fixed here, they're going to put them down, like the one that's been to 7 trainers and they're still biting people. Is there other ways to fix this dog? I don't know.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. What we do works.
Our way, yeah, our way works. And I'm always trying to find something new and better.
Our program is always growing.
Yeah, I mean, I watch videos. I laugh at some people for doing stupid shit, like give a dog a treat that just bit you. Give a dog a treat that just jumped on you, mm-hmm. you know. But like I said, if it works for you, use it, you know. And that's what I do. What I do works, and so we use it. But I'm never closed-minded, you know. And even me, when I watch somebody working a dog in Newburgh, if I see somebody train on a dog, I'm like, I've seen somebody else try that, and it didn't work so good. And I watch, and it didn't work so good again. But
well, and I think it's really important to, like, wrap a lot of that up with, if your dog respects you and follows rules and has manners, it doesn't mean they're miserable.
No.
In fact, our dogs are happy and pig and mud. A lot of freedom and a lot of a life that they live because of their good manners and them being polite, respectful, and obedient.
And you know, this last winter, I don't think I've seen her fall or spring near as many videos of you walking through the mountain trails with five or six dogs.
I'm back on it this fall.
Yeah. It disappointed me because I enjoyed watching the videos. Not that the people could watch you do it and learn something about it, but just the fact that you had a lot of fun, you and Brett both hiking around in the mountains and the trails and stuff and doing it. And it's just hard for some people. And I was talking to somebody yet again recently that had a dog, and other dogs approach their dogs on trails, and they're not on leashes. And that, for me, anyone, and I don't care who you are, you can like it or not like it, which a lot of people don't like what I had to say about this topics, but if you can't control your dog off leash in the public, you shouldn't have it off leash in the public.
No.
You know, if I'm walking my dog down the street and I have my dog on or off leash, and if I call my dog to me and put it on a leash, your dog should not come and approach my dog without asking me. Whether it's on leash or off leash, you know, it should not come to my dog. And you should respect people enough that if I say, no, I don't want to let my dog meet your dog, you should go on about your business or stop, you know. The one guy down at the river, he stopped that day. He asked if he could set his dog there and talk to us. And he sat there and talked to us for a good while. And I was mm-hmm. happy to talk
yeah.
to him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind. I mean, but.
Well, he didn't get his feelings hurt by us setting a boundary.
No, he didn't like it. You know, he really wanted to let his dog be playing with our dog. But he totally understood. And he didn't bother us, you know. I mean, and I've seen him there again. And he watches us train. He'll still. But, you know, the thing is for me, he don't get on the internet and talk shit about us. He sits there and watches us. He lets his dog watch us, and hopefully he's just trying to learn something. And one day he'll come and ask us if we can help him with his dog. But if not, kudos to him for at least being respectful to us and not being a keyboard warrior on the internet. So, Brett.
Warrior's a nice word for it.
It is, and that's what they are. They just want to talk shit. They don't got enough nuts or ass to come and say something. You know, they just got to hide. Brett, we got anything on there?
Yeah, good time. Paula Smith says the dogs have their crates and don't mind their time in them.
Good.
Rochelle Robinette said hi, Bianca and Marvin. And then
morning.
Also good morning. Said, Rochelle also said, I did not want to leave Chevy when you were talking about how challenging it is to drop dogs.
Yeah, it took her a while. Yeah.
She said what?
She didn't want to leave Chevy for board and train.
Oh, no. She still really don't want to leave her baby. She has a hard time going in the bathroom without her dog going in there. No, not really. You've done a great job with Chevy. And
yeah, she just got a puppy.
Taking it back. Did she get a doodle?
Marvin, what do you think?
Well, probably a heeler, no, most people.
No.
She got a doodle. What is it?
Where's the same it? Thing, just a different color.
What is her doodle?
What?
What breed?
Golden doodle.
How old is it?
8 weeks.
Huh? Are you going to get help, Rochelle?
No, she's just going to DIY, watch videos on the internet, feed it.
I figure she probably would.
Baked pumpkin and sweet potatoes.
Well, it's not here yet. How old is it?
She just got it yesterday.
Good job. It should have been here last night.
Oh, my gosh.
No. And I'm always happy for people that want to have her second dog, you know, if her first dog is cool. But if your first dog ain't cool, it's rough when you get a second dog or puppy. So, Brett, you got anything?
Shelly Blackman said, there's nothing wrong with heelers.
Nothing at all.
There's nothing wrong with Poncho.
She said you sound like your husband.
Poncho's cool.
We've got so many cool heelers that come and go here, you know.
I can't believe you just said that.
I did. They are. They don't bite me.
Doesn't mean they're not.
they don't bite me. We got Ringo in here, and he just looks at you like, I don't like you.
He doesn't like some people, but he don't bite me. He's not mean.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just looked at y'all side-eyed.
Ringo? Yeah.
He's cool.
Ringo? Yeah.
Rochelle said, I literally don't get home until 8:30. Also, yes, you'll see him.
Well, if you don't get home till 8:30, that means you probably don't go to work early in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
People in their time, you know, makes Marvin, it no, fun.
Hey, you know what? Before we get going on that subject that I don't want to hear about, I have one more subject to talk about. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
No, I'm going to stir the pot.
I'm ready.
Brett has no idea. I want to talk about how dangerous it can be to leave your dog with a pet sitter.
I'm listening.
So, some dogs do really well in the house, as far as people know. They're really good with people coming over. But if you have a dog that you've never left and you leave it with someone that it likes when they come over, it doesn't mean that that dog's going to be just as comfortable when you are not present.
That's so true.
And it literally just takes, and I'm not even saying that all pet sitting is bad. I'm not saying you should never have a house sitter, because I think that there are
just do your
some
homework.
Relationships where
I
it
encourage
works.
It. You yeah, got it. If you can sure. get everything set up to make it
but
work.
If you haven't done it, there are so many safety protocols that should be in place, because it just takes one time that your dog gets spooked. You're not there. The environment's different. They're looking for you. They want to know where you're at. The door gets opened for a FedEx package, and bam, they're gone.
And it's so true. I mean, it's just so
And they're
dangerous.
Not
going to
recall for someone that comes and visits once every 3 months. Very unlikely. I shouldn't say they're not. That's not a fact, but it's very unlikely. The probability of your dog coming back for us. Somewhat stranger when you're not present, and when they escape and they're looking for you. You could have your dog lost for 3 months or worse.
You know, for me, if I was going to have a dog in my house, which I don't, and I was going to have a pet sitter, which, you know, it kind of depends on your situation. Sometimes you can save quite a bit of money to have a pet sitter versus boarding your dog
for sure.
somewhere.
Yeah.
It's less stressful on your dog to have a pet sitter.
Yeah.
But me, if I was going to be like, okay, I'm going on go to freaking Italy next month for a week and a half, and I'm going to get a pet sitter, I would start working on it now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do some practice runs.
I would crate train my dog.
Yeah.
I would have my dog to where my pet sitter to be. Because this is a long-term thing if you have a pet sitter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's years for you, and it could be great years for you, your dog, and the pet sitter. But I would have my dog so my pet sitter could put it in a crate.
Totally.
I could have my dog so my pet sitter could put a leash on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they could lead it without it pulling the leash off. I'd get a martingale or whatever.
A collar that they can't slip out of. Yep.
And I would do all my homework. And for me, you know, knock on wood, you know, we're fortunate here. We have a good clientele. We have dogs that come back here to board all the time that's been with us for 3, 4, 5 years or so. And it's just like Bianca said. Here you get on the phone and you call, hey, Joe Bob, can you come and pet sit next week? Sure, I'll be there and drink your wine and whiskey and eat your food and let your dog escape, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, like Bianca said, you should really do homework and invest the money. I mean, because like I said, this could be a pet sitter that you could go out of town for the weekend all the time and trust them to come and watch your dog. And so I think.
But do some test runs. Can you imagine being out of the country? And your pet sitter calls and says, hey, the dog escaped.
You know, since I've been here with Marvin Pierce, dog teacher, I don't think I ever happened before that. I've had, I don't know, quite a few dogs come through. There's only been like twice, I think, I ever needed the owner to come back and get their dog out of the kennel for me.
Oh, yeah.
And they were going to freaking, one of them was a heeler, too, a blue heeler. And you know, I figured out that guy that sent us that message the other day. That said, his daughter, I gave his daughter a dog, and he lives in Texas now. And
Oh, yeah.
You know, I figured out who that is?
No.
It's the guy that has the blue heeler that I had to come from Gresham to get it out of the kennel because it's going to kill me.
Oh, really?
I mean, that beast was, and I mean, she would lunge. It's like, don't even open that kennel door. She was not going to sit in the corner and threat. She was coming for cheeseburgers, and I was a cheeseburger. And so he came and got his dog out and gave me the leash, and I handled her, you know, just like I did the husky. I held her mouth because she was after me. She was going to have me for lunch, and got her to where I could handle her, and then I put her in a different kennel so I could get her out a little easier. But his daughter's the one I gave the dog to. And the guy that hauled the gravel for me the other day, I can't remember his name. I'd give him a shout out on Facebook. He brought the drain rock, the gravel and a drain rock. He got a company here in Lafayette or McMinnville. Super nice guy. I see my post on Facebook, and he got right back with me and said he could do it, you know, in a couple of hours, and he did. And did a super nice job. But it was that blue heeler that I couldn't get out of the kennel. And that his brother's one that had a blue heeler. And I trained this guy's dog, too. I don't remember what dog it was, but I trained his dog also later. But the blue heeler I trained, then I gave his dog a cow dog pup that didn't make grade. His brother, he didn't even tell me the other day, or if he did, I was super busy and didn't hear him, but his brother moved to Texas, and that's who sent me his phone number and stuff, and Midge, I think, was his daughter's dog's name, and he wanted to let me know they're doing great, so I got to call him and say hi or something, and then I had, what's his name that we ain't seen for a good while, the big old shepherd mix, Husky, Dante. Remember, they came back that night and got him out of the kennel for me because he was going to freaking eat me.
Yeah, and then, that's a really good example because they never got that version of him.
No.
He was never that serious with them, but he'd not been away from home.
Yeah.
He'd not been boarded. And now strangers. That dog freaking loves coming.
Yeah, he's our buddy now. But, he comes up. And
That's a really good example because it was surprising to them that he was so bad. And, it's normal. If your dog's put in a new environment, that's why the pet sitter, if you don't have the right relationship and the right setup, if you have a dog that gets in a new uncomfortable situation, does the person that's watching your dog have the skill set, the confidence, and the comfort level to handle that situation without losing the dog, getting bit, putting the dog in an even more uncomfortable situation? Because a lot of times when a dog wants to bite us, we're like, what can we do to de-escalate the situation and not have the dog lose its
mind? We don't never want a dog to bite us or get in a dog fight. But, you know, you see farm setters do this, and you see people come home. Well, now everybody has a camera. Well, you should damn sure should have a camera if you're going to have a pet sitter or a farm sitter.
Yeah.
And I know people who's been gone 2 or 3 days and they get home.
Come check on it.
Yeah, they get home and their people never showed up. I just had one recently. It's like, holy shit, you know, and they're like 911 friends to go take care of my stock because my sitter didn't show up. So, and we're not saying don't use them. Use them for sure.
I mean,
it's a great thing.
Do your homework.
Like this one dog that we just got in the other day that wants to eat me. If we call the people and they're like, hey, your dog wants to eat us, they'd be like, okay, I know.
We'll come help.
Yeah. No, yeah. They may not. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
The other people, they were just traumatized that their dog wanted to try to eat me.
Yeah.
And they're like, I can't believe that. It's like, well, you probably never put your dog in that situation.
Yeah.
But now the healer, I'm not sure. It's in Texas, you know. But I was buddies with it when it left here because the guy even got the pup, his daughter did, from me, and they came back and trained with it some, you know. So always just really, like Bianca said, do your homework if you're going to have a pet sitter, farm sitter, cat sitter, bird sitter, whatever it is. And me, I can never stress out enough to have some cameras so you can make sure. And for me, if I had the cameras and I had a pet sitter and my camera mysteriously quit working, I'd be calling my buddy and say, hey, will you go check my camera and see.
And I'd probably have a tracker on your dog.
Yeah, for sure. It's just... Yeah. There's a dog running around Newburgh now, a black lab that's been loose for a month or two. I don't even know. They're trying to.
There's a bunch of stray situations and dog running away from home, but it is unbelievable the amount of. I used an app to have someone take care of my dog, and now my dog is loose.
Well, I remember back in the days, you don't talk to strangers, and you don't ride with strangers.
Now
you call an Uber and jump in a car with somebody in. You see people jump in the wrong damn car. Uber ain't even there. Joe Bob parked out there talking on his cell phone. Somebody bails in the back seat.
Yeah.
Or where are you going?
Do we have any other questions, Brett?
Shelly said, Poncho got put in timeout. He started being rebellious and now doesn't get to go roping until he starts being more respectful.
Oh, that's my little red healer buddy.
No.
I didn't see you winning no ropings over there at Sam's the other day. Riley Fry took everybody's money and ran
with it. Valerie Jester said, I have a client who hired someone off of road where the exact thing happened. Dog ran out of the front door and got hit by a car. They came to me, got a puppy after that happened. This house sitter had a bunch of good reviews there, too. I don't think...
And it can happen to anybody. It don't have to be a flake. It could just
it doesn't mean the person is a bad person.
If I had a house sitter for my dog, it would be a flat. If the front door, back door, side door, window opens, my dog is in the crate.
Yeah. If Scout was just loose and some stranger came to let him out, he would find his way to work.
Yeah, or eat him on the way.
Yeah, true, maybe.
Might eat him on the way.
Stop and go experimenting.
Yeah. You know, you can
If he didn't eat them, he would leave.
You know, I have policies and rules in my life, and I've done stupid shit that I shouldn't even be alive from doing numerous things. But me, like, if Bianca's car is sitting out here and Scout's in it, I won't get in your car and move it.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
And it's just same
thing
with you.
You'd probably be fine, but I still wouldn't recommend it.
I would be more likely to get in Brett's car with Rue than your car with Scout.
Well, Rue's more your buddy.
Yeah, me and Rue's went around a lot, you know, for years. Yeah. And Scout's still your baby.
Yeah.
Rue is Brett's dog. You know?
Are we just going to wrap up Facebook Live every time now? Just like,
hey, I'm proud of your dog.
I'm proud
of your dog. There's nothing wrong with your dog biting somebody for getting in
your
car. There's
everything wrong with you bragging on Brett.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's funny. Bianca didn't get patted on the back. Brett did. But it's like me right now, and I talk a lot about people and their dogs like you. I don't worry so much about you if you go to town as Scout's with you.
Yeah.
I don't worry about you walking across the farm as Scout's with you. You know
what I mean? A stranger comes up to the barn at 11:30 at night.
Yeah, don't even have to be a stranger. Just somebody come in.
Sneaking up on me in the dark.
Back to the thing about pet sitting, house sitting. I would really have some rules. And I mean, because it is such a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
So, all right, Brett, we got any questions?
Shelly said, my husband took second.
Nice. Good job.
That's cool.
Yeah, I kind of thought I might go over and rope this year. I had a date on my phone, but I just never got on my horse. Kind of need to do that. There's one more left, I think, a couple of weeks or something over there at Sam's. So, Brett, you got anything?
Updates for this week, any events that you have going on?
A group walk tomorrow at 9 a.m. That's all.
Perfect.
Man, that's pretty peaceful.
We're training
no
dogs.
Clinics?
Yeah. No.
All right. Well, we're going to jump off here. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
If you're okay with it, I feel like you talked about how you got into dog training. We have probably 10,000 to 15,000 followers in total. There's probably a chance that someone listening would like to be a dog trainer.
Oh, you know what? We're going to do some shadow programs this fall when it cools off, and that'll probably be a five-day deal. We'll probably do like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, mm-hmm. and it'll be like from 9 to 5 or
and
whatever.
And your dog can come.
Yeah, and you can bring your dog as long as it ain't killing people and dogs, you know. And we're going to do them here in our round pen, and... Some people, if you have an RV or whatever, you can camp out here in my field, you know, if you want to spend the night or sleep in a tent or whatever. There's hotels in town, you know. We might have some little cookouts out here in the field and just have some fun with it and meet some people. And I know I had somebody from Colorado or New York wanting to come. I'm not sure if they still do. I hadn't talked to them for a while. But any of you, if you want to learn to train, and we get people all the time that, they bring a dog here that's really bad, and they want us to give them lessons so they can learn how to fix their dog. And you've been with me for, 4 years? And you still learn. Mm-hmm. You learn to argue less and be a better dog trainer.
Whatever.
You know? And I think that you can't bring a dog somewhere to get it trained and be a dog trainer when you're done. When you started here, we got so many shelter dogs, you know, that we brought up here and trained.
Right.
Because if we were slow, which we kind of enjoy once in a while, we would just go to shelter and get a dog or two and bring them up and train on them.
Yeah.
And Brett, even with you, I mean, we could go get whatever kind of problem dog we wanted and bring it up here. We made videos and we trained, so... Anybody who wants to be a dog trainer, and you can go online, you know, like a lot of people do, and you can get certified treat training in probably a month. I mean,
there's a major market for it.
They are. Yeah.
Make a lot of money.
Yeah, and they can get certified. I mean, it don't take very long. And my program, no, if you want to be a dog trainer in a month or six, you're coming to the wrong place. You know, if you're a dog trainer and you want to get some help, you know, we'd be glad to help you with it. And like I said, we're going to try to do some of the shadow programs this fall. Bianca, you got anything else?
If you're thinking about being a dog trainer and you decide you want to take on dogs that have separation anxiety and behavioral problems, just know that sometimes it's like having a baby and you stay up all night.
Yeah, Bianca's been staying up for a couple of nights in the kennels. Last year, I had to stay up for like a month trying to get raccoons out of my chickens. And I want you to know I succeeded. I started out with what Jody did with, 40-some chickens, 3 geese, a rooster, and a duck. And by the time I got the raccoons, more than one relocated, we had 2 chickens, 3 geese, and that was it. No rooster, no ducks.
You know what?
40-some chickens.
You know what?
Managed. What?
I have one last thing to say.
What?
You should have tried positive only training for the raccoons.
You know, I did. I'm like, hey, I'm going to sleep out here tonight. Come join me. I'll give you some treats. I'll give you cheeseburgers instead of chicken. So, Brett, we're going to go. Bianca's leaving. We're out of here. So. Hey, thanks, everybody, for joining us. And if you thought I was talking about you, it's your own feelings. So, Bianca, don't forget all your mics and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast. If you found this information helpful, we suggest following even more of our dog training tips and resources on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher.